Back in on Canuck Central, it's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah with you. Canucks and Winnipeg Jets coming up a little bit later on. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Let's bring in our next guest, Hockey Night in Canada analyst, longtime NHL head coach. It is Rick Bowness joining us here on the program. Thanks for this, Rick. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty well. I mean, the for a few moments over the last few weeks, the sky was falling for a lot of Canucks fans. Then one win over the Maple Leafs on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday changed everything.
That's all it takes, man. Beat Toronto and everyone's happy for a while. Take a deep breath, relax. They've got a good team. They've got a great coach and general manager, and they're going to be just fine once they get healthy and get everyone back together. They've got a great hockey club there, and they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, were you impressed with the Canucks' play on Saturday night?
Very much. And when I looked at it, I said both coaches have major challenges tonight. It wasn't just Cox trying to get his players focused and eliminate all the excuses, which he did a phenomenal job of, and as did the players. I really liked how they responded. But the Chief, Craig Berube, you know, it's human nature. They're sitting there all day. Okay, Vancouver's coming in late. They're not gonna be ready to go. And you take your foot off the gas subconsciously a little bit. And I like the way the Canucks came out of the gate. Just go north, get it deep, go to the point, get pucks to the net as quick as we can, and it paid off. But as the game wore on, you could see Toronto trying to fight back. But again, Chief's biggest challenge was to get his team just to get focused and forget all the other stuff, what's going on with the Canucks. And it's a lot easier said than done. That's human nature sometimes. You just automatically take the foot off the gas. But I was very happy for the Canucks. They played great and they looked good, and they certainly deserved to win that game.
Well, you know what it's like, Rick, in a Canadian market. You've been involved in a couple. You know Vancouver very, very well as well. And, you know, especially with when things aren't going as well as people expect, there's a lot of storylines. And in the first half of the season, they've jam-packed an entire year's worth of storylines for this team to deal with. And for the head coach, like Tocchet, he's spoken about how it feels like every day there's something new the team had to deal with, but they feel like they're coming through it. How challenging is it to keep a group together when you're in a Canadian market and the turmoil and the storylines get ratcheted up as much as they have around a team like they did around Vancouver?
Well, listen, I remember reading talks in August and September already warning his players it's going to be tougher, and he was right on with that. So you try to warn them, but then you've got to play through it. But all the injuries, and you know, the coach of the team with all the injuries, he'll never ever make excuses. But now that I'm on the outside looking in, It's tough. This is a great hockey league, and every team you play is a good team, and every team you play every night can beat you if you're not on top of your game. And when you're missing a couple of key guys, it makes that challenge much harder and more difficult. So, it's tough in the Canadian market, but you keep the guys. Listen, there's always every contract to pay is signed. There's clauses in there about being a professional and conduct and everything else. There's no clauses in there that says you only play in, you know, half the games or 50 games or 60 games, or you have to like all your teammates. So those clauses don't exist. You want your players to be professional. And it looks like the Canucks have done that. They've overcome all the things that you talked about earlier. And again, they know deep down they've got a good team. They know deep down when they all get together what it's going to take to win, and they're going to be fine. Some of these trials and tribulations you go through in the first half, they make you stronger in the second half, and you've got to hope that's the case for Vancouver.
So what was the game plan against the Canucks? You had a 5-1 record over the last couple of years against Vancouver.
Hellebuck. Okay, Bucky, you didn't know, stop the puck. It was like in Vancouver, we had Luongo. Okay, Alain and I, we'd look at each other and say, all right, come on, Louis, big night tonight. No, listen, we had some success against them. But I do remember going in there last year and they beat us 5-0. It was probably one of the worst games we had played all year, and it showed how good a hockey club they were. I know earlier we went in and played an outstanding game, but they're always good games because Tocchet's a great coach. He gets those guys playing hard, gets them well prepared, And again, they've got a good hockey club. And yeah, we had some success against them, but we always had a ton of respect for them. The Vancouver connection, we knew it was going to be a tough game.
Well, and I think a lot of teams that have success in today's league do have a similar game plan, at least, and play very similar styles. And coaches will oftentimes say there's only tweaks that differ most teams' systems and how they play. But as far as the trend we're seeing in the league, where, you know, shots are not being valued as much as scoring chances are, how much do you think the game has evolved in that regard, to say decade or the last decade or so?
Oh, a lot. But that is, like, you go into some of the rinks around the league and you're looking at the shot clock and it's 15, 18 the period, and you're saying, well, there's no way they had that. So sometimes the shot clock is very, very misleading, and the game is decided by chances for and chances against. If you're winning that battle, you're going to win more games than you're going to lose. If you're giving up too many chances and not creating enough, then you're going to be on the receiving end too often. But sometimes, and most times, that shot clock is very misleading. And, you know, I've been watching a couple of periods, and teams are walking out of their one or two shots, but they've had five or six scoring opportunities that they missed the net. So those are scoring chances, but don't register as a shot on net. You have a breakaway, you hit the goalpost. It doesn't count as a shot on net, but it does count as a scoring chance. So for me, I always put more emphasis on that, on okay, are we generating more than we're giving up, and just kind of ignore the shot clock a lot of nights. Now, there's also nights where that shot clock is very accurate, and they're giving up 15, 20 scoring chances, and then you've got to address that. But for me, the league is now all about that. Listen, the other thing is most teams, and pretty much every team now, they're collapsing five guys around the net, so you're taking a lot of outside shots, which you're willing to give up. And don't get misled by the shot clock, but you better have a good tabulation at the end of the game of chances for, chances against.
Yeah, it feels like the Canucks have really bought into that. Rick has even told us at times, like, I don't care about the shot clock. I only care about the chances. And some games we'll see, you know, the Canucks will have a lot of offensive zone time, a lot of offensive zone possession time, but not end up with a ton of shots on net. And they're just, the players are constantly looking for a little bit more quality. And, you know, I guess the game has been the same for a lot of years, and now we've got the numbers to back it up. That's just, it's added an extra layer to all this. It almost seems as though, you know, the Canucks will pass up a shot if they're not able to get, you know, something in that home plate area in the low slot, get a layered screen going, something to that effect that really is going to make life hard for the goaltender.
But then the other thing is that sometimes when they're watching the game, it looks a lot easier than it really is. And sometimes we think the player sees a shot that he's just taking. It's not there, and he's not seeing it. But, like, I'm a big believer that shots do create scrambles. That's one thing about it. If it's not going well, get pucks going to the net. But then you've got to win the retrieval battles, and you got to keep putting pucks back at the net. But, again, the way everyone defends in the league now with five guys tight around the net, you've got to open them up. You've got to get the puck back to your D. They've got to go D to D. They've got to get it to them. You've got to have that third forward high just to open up the defense. But then, like as you mentioned, when that shot is there, you've got to take it. You've got to try to create rebounds, and that's when you can get them running around. But, again, you can spend 45 seconds in the ozone to today's hockey and be on the outside. And you're tying yourself open. You're not getting much out of it until you throw a puck at the net. It's like I always say about overtime now. Overtime opens up when someone finally shoots the puck.
Right?
And then there's a race and there's a scramble, and then it opens up. But overtime, until someone actually shoots the puck to get a scramble and to try and get some odd man, there's not much happening out there. But it's the same thing 5-on-5. Eventually, you've got to throw the puck at the net. You've got to get it through a couple of layers, but then you've got to get the retrievals, you've got to get the tips, you've got to get the rebounds, and you've got to get your nose dirty to make those things happen. You got to get in there.
And with everything you just mentioned, there's such a big emphasis on defending and collapsing and how to deploy your own end. And one thing that we often see from the outside is a lot of clamoring for offensive defensemen to get opportunities, and coaches are always going to shade towards players who are going to be more safe in their own end. But when you talk about responsibilities and we look at guys who are offensively inclined but have puck moving ability, but if they don't understand their assignments and can't win their one-on-one battles defensively, is any coach going to trust those players to play any significant minutes if they can't figure those things out?
Well, yeah, that's your job as a coach, is to help them figure those things out. And the key guys, and the smart hockey players will figure it out. And you're going to win or lose with your best players. So if they need a little help to figure that out, then that's your job as a coach. And the other part of that is, if they are a little weak, to make sure they have the right partner or they have the right wingers. And so to offset some of their weaknesses, you give them this somebody with those strengths. Listen, the last perfect hockey player in our league, Nick Lindstrom in Detroit. So everyone has some faults. Everyone has some weaknesses that you have to work with. And then it's up to the job to build the chemistry with either the defensive partner or the lines to offset the weaknesses. They all have strengths, and you've got to let them play to their strengths. You got to work with them on their weaknesses, and you also have to surround them with the right people at the right time.
Well, now that you mentioned it, what's Hellebuck's weakness? Because I think there's a few teams trying to figure that out right now.
Right now, there's none. Listen, this guy is the real deal. He don't ever underestimate his hockey IQ. He reads the play so well. And for a big man, he moves really well. He's athletic. He's very, very competitive. But it's his hockey IQ. He makes a lot of big saves look easy because of that, his ability to read the play. He's a tremendous worker. Again, he's one of those guys that goalies, the players love playing in front of, works his butt off every day. And you know, going into the game, he's going to be ready and he's going to be at his best. And one thing about you love about Bucky is that he might let in 5 or 6 and he'll think he played well, which is great, because that confidence you absolutely have to have. And he has it. But it's his hockey IQ, it's his athleticism, his compete, and his size. And he makes that job look really easy a lot of times. But in our league today, man, you're not going anywhere without elite goaltending. Average goaltending means inconsistent goaltending, which means it's a scramble to make the playoffs. Every top team in our league has great goaltending, and certain Bucky's at the top of that right now.
Yeah, and a big reason why the Jets are as good as they are so far this season. And, you know, the other Jet player that I really wanted to get your thoughts on is Kyle Connor. And, you know, I've always kind of thought he's one of the more underrated stars in the NHL, and maybe gets lost in the shuffle when you talk about exciting, talented young hockey players. What makes him such a special player? It seems like every year he seems to get better and better.
And he will. He's an elite skater, and he's got an incredible release. Now, a lot of players in our league, they've got a release, and they've got to slow down and stride to get that shot off. Kyle doesn't. His feet are moving 100 miles an hour. He can still get that shot off. He doesn't slow down. It's an amazing release. It's a quick release. It catches a lot of goalies by surprise. And he's finally getting recognition now because the team is at the top of the league. And, you know, for a couple of years, no one really watched the Winnipeg Jets. Well, the last couple of years, that team's a legitimate team. It's a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. Okay, who's driving the bus there? Yep, Hellebuck, Morrissey, Scheifele, and Kyle Connor. He's a natural goal scorer, and his ability to shoot the puck on the fly, as accurate as he is, and as quick as the release as he has. He's a nightmare for goaltenders because he's coming in that wing. You never know when it's coming, where it's going, but he does. And he knows when to put it and where to put it. You watch goal scorers, even if they miss the net or whatever, they're putting the puck in the right spot. They're not always going to hit it, but the puck is going to the right spot where it has the best chance of going in. And Kyle has that ability.
What can you say about the job Scott Arneil's done?
Oh, he's done a fantastic job. That whole staff, they've done a great job. The last couple of years, our power play, and that's on me. We couldn't get that thing going. Our play this year is clicking, and that's made a huge difference in the team success. Because I always said this last year, even if we had average specialty teams, penalty kill and power play, we would have led the league. We would have won the President's Cup. But our power play and the penalty kill were in the bottom third. This year, the penalty killing's middle of the road, but the power play is clicking, and that's won them an awful lot of games. So Scotty's doing a fantastic job there, and he's got a hell of a hockey team. They are legitimate. They are certainly, and it's no fluke. They are where they are. They've got the goaltender. They've got the balance. They've got the depth. They got tremendous leadership, the culture in the room. You couldn't ask for a better group to coach. They all want to be Winnipeg Jets. They all want to be there. They all fight for each other. You just got to love that for both the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, and, you know, I know the front office has also done a really good job with a lot of the moves they've made, obviously, to keep the team competitive. And that trade, sending Pierre-Luc Dubois, has worked out massively well for the Jets. And what was your takeaway about Gabe Vilardi, who, after a tough start to his career with injuries, and he's had a tough go with injuries pretty much every year, and this year at least has been healthy so far. But what stood out to you when you saw him firsthand coming over from L.A.?
His ability to create offense down around the net. And it was, and because you mentioned his injuries, he got off to a real good start last year, and then he had that serious injury. And then Kyle Connor got hurt. So that line was looking really good early last year, but then we never really had a chance to get it clicking again because of those injuries that you mentioned. But also Kyle had an injury. We lost him for a while. And that had a huge impact on the power play success as well, losing those guys. But one thing was Gabe, you put him down around the net, he's very calm. He's a big man with great hands. And he's very calm around the net. You watch some of the plays he makes. He's got good vision, and he's got great hands. And he's able to put the puck under the bar when he's in tight. He's able to go reach around the goalie because of his reach. But it's his calmness with the puck around the net. Top of the circles down in the ozone, he is a dangerous, dangerous man. It's his hands. And again, he's very calm with the puck. And you love what he sees. And he's got the offensive instincts, and it's just stay healthy and keep getting better. For a young player, yeah, I mean, he's another guy. He'll just keep getting better every year.
Before we let you go, one of our listeners wants to know, how excited are you to watch the Four Nations face off?
Yeah, we're all very excited about that. I've always said that you want to try to find the true team, the nation. I've always been a big fan of having training camps in September and having it then, simply because everyone's healthy and you have an opportunity to have training camp and get some lines, get chemistry together with your lines and chemistry and some systems in place. You're throwing your best players in the world together and give them a day or two to work it out, but it's going to be the best hockey we've seen in a while. And I'm certainly thrilled. I'm as excited as anyone to watch it. It's going to be great hockey. And the fact that maybe that they haven't had a chance to work together, they don't have all the systems in place, it's going to make it more entertaining because it's going to be a little bit more wide open.
Hey, Rick, we really appreciate the time and the insights. Thanks so much for this today.
Okay, my pleasure. Nice talking.
There he is, Rick Bonus, Hockey Night in Canada analyst, joining us here on Canucks Central, and some really good insights there on the team he was coaching last couple of years in the Winnipeg Jets, and what he's seeing out of the Vancouver Canucks right now.
Yeah, obviously has some kind words for the team the Canucks have and the coach and what he thinks about their capabilities if they find their game as the season goes on. But, you know, as far as the Jets are concerned, Hellebuck's the big story, but Kyle Connor has been an absolute stud for that team. And they have good depth. They probably could use a bit more, obviously, on the back end in terms of higher-end talent or whatever, but like they don't have a ton of weaknesses. And the way Kyle Connor is playing, like he's playing like an elite forward right now.
23 goals, 55 points on the year for Connor. One of the best contracts in the league at just over $7 million. And, you know, I mean, his skill and his offensive awareness is something that always stands out with him. You get to see it a lot closer when you get to see him live at Rogers Arena.
Yeah.
But his like ability to find soft ice in the offensive zone is just like, it's uncanny.
Yeah.
How he's always able to find that little gap in the defensive coverage is just incredible for Kyle Connor. And the way that line is going, Connor, Scheifele, and Vilardi, you know, they were a big reason one of those Jets wins last year happened over the one of the games that I got to call in Brendan Batchelor's absence. Juleson would step up. He made a couple of those mistakes in that game. And, you know, that Connor, Scheifele, and Vilardi line just absolutely crushed the Canucks in that game. And they've continued to do that all of this year, played over 500 minutes together and absolutely dominating those minutes.
Yeah, made them pay for the mistakes they made. And they played well outside of those mistakes. And that's what ultimately cost them those games. But they're deadly, right? And if you give space and time to Kyle Connor with the speed he's able to generate, like it's good night. Like, yeah, it's, that's how dangerous he is. And that's why, you know, I'm really curious to see how the Canucks handle this Jets team today. Like, this is a really good matchup, I think, and a real good test for the Canucks coming off that win against the Leafs. And they had a couple days off now, final game of the road trip. Like, I'm excited to kind of see, you know, could this be like a bit of a heavyweight tilt?
The the letdown spot feels real here for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, but it's the Jets. You can't really let down.
Exactly. But, you know, we've seen the Canucks have a good performance and then not have that same type of effort push in the very next game.
Well, and also when they've had a player come back from injury, they haven't got the boost you had hoped.
Yep.
And Hronek is coming back tonight. But I'm optimistic they're going to buck that trend.
We'll see, and we'll get more into this as the pregame show gets going in a couple of minutes. Canucks and Winnipeg Jets. Yes, Filip Hronek is back, and we'll see how the Canucks line up around him, though. Rick Tocchet saying it will be a Hughes-Hronek pair for the game today against Winnipeg. You look at some of these texts here, and this one says, ever notice that Kyle Connor looks like a blue shark? I don't know if he does. Omar and East Van, hey guys, don't forget about Ehlers. He was injured for a bit and the Jets wobbled a bit while he was gone, and it quickly picked up upon his return. He's having a career year, close to a point per game. Contract year, player having a career year? Never seen it before.
Never happens.
Unbelievable. All right. Into the pregame show we go. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. You've been listening to Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.